Scripture reading today will be from the book of Romans, chapter 8, 31 through 34. That's Romans 8, 31 through 34. I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. What then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how would he not also with him freely give us all things? Who would bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, yes, rather, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us.
Good morning. I want to welcome everyone, especially folks who are visiting with us today. We are always glad to have visitors with us, and glad that you chose to come and worship the Lord and be a part of our fellowship this morning. And also want to thank all the teachers who've been so faithful in their work this last quarter, from those who've been teaching the little ones up to those who've been teaching the adult classes. Have a new quarter starting next Sunday, I believe, and I know some of those who are teaching younger grades are going to continue with what you're doing. We appreciate you, though, so very much. And if you haven't been coming to a Bible class, adult Bible class, or bringing your kids either, for that, as far as that goes, next week's a good week to come. We have three classes that are getting underway in the adult education. I want to invite you to take a look at the handout that you have today and make a selection and come and join us for some study in the Word of God. This last week, Kevin and Jim and Gotti and I were traveling on Highway 99, and one of the things that we talked about on our trip, one of the conversations, was about times that we or family members had broken down on that highway. And after I got home, I began to think about how many more stories that I actually had to share. Because when Ellen and I were dating, well, actually beyond dating, like courting, she lived up in the Central Valley for a while. And then after we married, of course, her folks were there. So every other week, it seemed like, I was heading back up Highway 99. And I can remember being on that road with my best friend, John Toomey, and he had this old Dodge. I don't know how in the world we actually made it up to Modesto on this trip, but we broke down about early Mart, for those of you who know 99 really well. And I can remember, neither of us were very good mechanically. We threw open the hood and was like, what's that big thing that's glowing red? You know, what is that? You know, what part of the car is that? I think it was the exhaust manifold, but yeah, we didn't go very far that night, but we eventually got in. But I thought of all the times I've broken down on that road. An air conditioner pulley in later years that got frozen, and then you know how the belt just spins and whines and you have to stop the car, but break the belt off and hope it's not turning the water pump, or you're going to overheat, which is the number one problem, of course, going up and down the Grapevine. I can remember one Sunday night, we left Ukiah, we were driving up to see Ellen's folks, and we pulled off in Bakersfield at the Chief Auto Supply at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night, changing the alternator out on our Oldsmobile under the light outside, asking them, please don't leave till we see if the car will start, you know, so we can get on our way. But just so many times that you're on the road and you have problems. In Kenya, it was potholes or matatu drivers that would just cut you off, who did not even care if they ran you off the road, if they could make up 2 seconds of time. It just is inherently dangerous at times to travel the roads. We know that, whether it's mechanical troubles or weather-related issues or, of course, other drivers that you encounter on the road. But in the scriptures, we have often times where we find people who are on dangerous roads or people who are traveling under dangerous circumstances. In fact, there's an entire group of Psalms, Psalm 120 to Psalm 135 or 134, called Psalms of Ascent. And these were songs that the Israelites sang in later years when they were on their way up to Jerusalem, when they were going to pass over to any of the great festivals. They had a collection of psalms that they used to sing along the road. Psalms that were about God's protection, often, many of them were, because as they made their way to Jerusalem, there were any numbers of dangers that they would face as well. And so they would They pulled together a group of psalms from their national experience, and this became part of what happened on your way, on your pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And it was about the journey and about dangers along the way. This morning, we're looking at one of those psalms. It's Psalm 124. And it's originally a psalm of deliverance, of national deliverance. It's a celebration and a praise of God who is with his people, who cares for his people, and who saves his people. And it became a very appropriate song for the Israelites to sing along the road. And I think you'll find it's a pretty relevant song for each one of us, because as we travel through our lives, we're traveling through some very dangerous places. The psalm reads, Psalm 124, "If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare's been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If the Lord had not been on our side," they sang, "if the Lord had not been on our side, what would have happened to us?" And this psalm begins with some very powerful imagery of danger. One about being swallowed alive. The psalmist sees an enemy like a sea monster or some great creature embodying all of the fears and the uncertainties and powers that you just cannot stand up against. And here he stands, knowing there's no defense. There's no escape. He's about to be destroyed. What can he do? He's going to be swallowed up alive. He is defenseless, facing powers he cannot overcome. He then talks about being swept away in a torrent, engulfed by a flood. And the imagery there is of the way that through the erosion in the rains there in the Middle East, creating all of these gullies and so forth, so that when a flash flood is created, when rain falls in one place, and all of the water funnels down through these channels. And it can be fine where you are, but if it's raining several miles away, that gravitational pull bringing that water down can just sweep you away and even take you away to your death while you're just traveling on your way down the road. It's just a struggle for survival. And as the psalmist talks about being swallowed alive or being swept up in this current and just taken off to drown, just to be completely destroyed, we realize that the psalmist isn't so much concerned literally with sea monsters or with raging rivers, but this is imagery for life. He's talking about life. Not so much natural disaster as the hazards and dangers that we face when we travel the road of life. Israel knew a lot of crises in their history. Many times, the nation felt as if they were going to be swept away, as if there was a monster that was about to swallow them, that they were going to be carried off in a flood. Israel is located, as we very well know still in this day, in a place of great danger, because in the ancient Near East, there were the superpower to the south, Egypt, and then the superpowers to the north, and depending on the century, it was Assyria or Babylon or Medo-Persia. And there is Israel right in the middle of all of those countries, with the roads between those warring nations running right through Israel. And how often those armies marched through that land. How often villages were put to the torch. How often cities were laid siege. How many times did the Israelites find themselves paying tribute to some nation that was stronger than they were, or even at times carried off into captivity, swept away. And still, they survived. They came through. Somehow, miraculously, if the Lord had not been on our side, they sang. If the Lord had not been on our side, where would we be? Where would the nation be? But the Lord had been with them. And as we listen to the song they were singing, it may cause us to think about the hazards that we face on the road, which are many. Oh, there may be those natural things that we face, natural in the sense of flood or tornado or hurricane or fire. Even our own family here has had relatives specifically affected by these things in the last few weeks and months. And oftentimes it's about rebuilding after such a tragedy. But the most difficult crises we face are those human crises that take us and threaten us and seem ready at times to destroy us. And in our family here, I know we can identify with these things. There's so many of them. You lose your job and you can't find another way to support your family. And you can't find, if you don't have enough money then for medical insurance, and someone in your family becomes ill and the medical costs mount. You rent a house and you're barely making the rent, but then the landlord sells the house out from under you. You can't find any place to move in. Maybe just one financial disaster after another. Or health issues. There are folks in our congregation who suffer from chronic pain issues day in, day out, day in, day out. There they are dealing with that. Others who are facing life-threatening diseases or conditions. People are struggling with treatments for cancer. The very treatment sapping their strength. These things happen to us. They happen in our family every single day. Sudden death of somebody you love and care about, just taken so quickly. And even worse, when in our hearts and in our lives we're betrayed by those that we love. Betrayed by a friend, betrayed by a spouse, the pain of divorce and its destructive aftermath in a family, or a child of ours that turns from the Lord and turns back to the world and is lost to us, or a child who makes bad decisions and gets into trouble and gets in over their head and gets in a really terrible place, and you wonder if they're going to be able to come out of that. Or gossip and slander that comes against you, maybe at work, or maybe at the church, or maybe from friends, but gossip and slander that destroys your name, that brings false charges against you. And whatever it is, whatever form it takes, this sea monster rises up and it opens up its mouth. And this torrent comes washing away at us, sweeping us away. And we wonder sometimes in our lives, are we even going to survive? Is there any way to get out of this? Is there any hope? Is there any way to be set free from this trap? The Lord is on our side, we ask. The Lord is on our side. Look at what's happening in my life. The Lord is on my side. Our help is the name of Jehovah. Our life has a way of provoking those kinds of questions at times. And frankly, this psalm doesn't have time for an answer. It doesn't have time for a discussion. He doesn't give us any time to argue with him. The laments are there in the psalms on those days that we want to argue this point, but this isn't a lament. This is a man who just sings. This is a man who says, let me tell you about my experience. I'm going to sing. And he sings convincingly as a man who's experienced this, a man who knows what he's talking about. He makes no defense of God. He doesn't explain the circumstances. He doesn't try to prove God's help. He just sings it. He just sings convincingly as one who has known it. And his witness is vivid and it's contagious, because one person starts, and then he says, let everybody sing along with me. And once they start, there's no stopping them. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. You can't get a word in edgewise once they start singing that song. They're going to sing it to the end. They're going to sing it because it's the song of deliverance, and it's the conviction they have and the experience they have. They're saying, we are still here. We have survived. We have miraculously come through, and this is the work of Jehovah God. And the psalm points out something that we don't like to consider, and that is that God doesn't always deliver us from danger, but rather he delivers us through danger. This psalmist is not a guy who is talking about the good life and how he's enjoyed it and how God just blesses him and blesses him and blesses him, and there are no troubles or trials coming his way. This is a man who has gone through the worst. This is a man who has been in the monster's mouth and felt its breath, and its teeth have scraped his cheek, and he's been carried away in a swift current, grabbing for a branch or a tree or anything just to keep his head above water. He has had his share of heartache. He has known suffering and pain and disappointment and disease and loss and even the contempt and hatred of men, but he finds himself intact. He finds his life intact. He has not been abandoned by his God. He has been helped by his God. And the power isn't in the dragon or in the flood, but in the God who did not go off and leave us, the God who did not abandon us in that moment. You know, sometimes surviving is deliverance. Sometimes it's just surviving that brings about the deliverance. And so he praises God. I love this reading from a different translation from the last part of the psalm. Oh, blessed be God. He didn't go off and leave us. He didn't abandon us defenseless, helpless as a rabbit in a pack of snarling dogs. We've flown free from their fangs, free of their traps, free as a bird. Their grip is broken. We're free as a bird in flight. God has not abandoned us. Have you ever felt that? A little rabbit with a pack of snarling dogs around him. There's no way out. There's no hope. But the psalmist said, no, that's where we were, but God didn't leave us there. God did not abandon us in that moment. And we may know what it's like to feel attacked, not only by our enemies, but by the painful and traumatic events in our lives and the circumstances that we face. We know what it's like at times to be caught in a snare. And you're just caught in the snare. And it's like, I'm never going to get out of this. I am never going to be set free. This is always going to be the way it is. I am doomed to this. There is no hope. It is so bleak. No way out. And then the snare breaks. And we're free. Somehow, it broke. We weren't expecting it. It comes somewhat as a surprise. God rescues us in one way or another. And that's why we continue down this pathway of life in faith. We put our faith on the line. We live in a world that rejects God. But we make this God, whom we have never seen, the center and heart of our lives. We put our trust in him. He will not abandon us. Jehovah God will not abandon us, regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in. And we put our hope on the line. Because we do not know, do we? We do not know what tomorrow may bring. We do not know what the next hour will bring to our lives, to our family, to our congregation. Will it bring catastrophe? Will it bring blessing? Will it be a word of death? Will it be a word of life? We don't know. We don't know. But we're assembled here today as people who say, the Lord God will not abandon us, and in him is our hope, and he will bring us through. This God who did not go off and leave us, the Lord who is on our side, the God that will deliver us from death or will deliver us through death. I know you remember the story of those three Hebrew officials in the Babylonian court in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As they came before King Nebuchadnezzar, about to be thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down before the idol. You talk about ready to be pulled away in a storm or being swallowed by a monster. They're about to be thrown into a furnace. And in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, these men say to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. The maker of heaven and earth has the last word. In life or in death, the maker of heaven and earth has the last word. And as we look at this psalm today and hear it sung, as we read it, we realize we're not singing this song alone. This is a song that Abraham sang when the ram was caught in the bush. The Lord who was on our side, he didn't abandon it. This is the song that Joseph sang down in Egypt, away from everything, in the prison house. The Lord had not been on our side. This is the song that Queen Esther sang when it looked like her entire race was going to be destroyed by hateful Persians. If the Lord had not been on our side. This is the song that Stephen sang even as the stones fell down around him in Acts chapter 7. If the Lord had not been on my side. It's the song that the Apostle Paul sang. It's the song of the church. If the Lord had not been on our side. It's the song of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's the song that we continue to sing. You know, some people, I think, in the world think that Christians are simple-minded, naive. We lead protected lives. We kind of live far away from the real world with our head in the clouds, and we just really don't know what goes on. But the opposite is true. Those who are here this morning, we who are in Christ Jesus, we know more about the deep struggles of life than others. We know about the ugliness of sin. We know about the depths of human depravity and hatred. We see it. We've seen it all. We're confronted by it. And we live in a fallen world where Satan so often temporarily gains the upper hand. And so we face the onslaught, disease or death or heartbreak, knowing that that spiritual battle is raging all around us and in our lives and through our lives and in the church and even through the history of the world. And this psalmist looks to all of those troubles, not only in history, but the anxiety of our personal conflicts and all of the emotional trauma and pain that we have as followers of God. And he sees there a God who is on our side, the God who is our help, the deliverance that we need from the maker of heaven and earth. And you know, we have a new verse to add to the song. Thanks be to Jesus Christ. We have a song about the saving work of Jesus that the psalmist could not sing because he didn't know it. But we know it, and we add that verse. And I'll tell you what, once the church starts singing this song, you just try to stop us. Because once you start singing this song, you sing it to the end. From Romans 8:31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, if the Lord is on our side, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered a sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In a hellish world where so often the powers of evil are unleashed, we sing a song of thanksgiving. We sing a song of deliverance. We sing a song of praise. And we travel right through those dangers toward a city where God Himself will welcome us. We're marching to Zion. Let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high. And no matter what happens, we have escaped because our help is in the name of Jehovah, the maker of heaven and earth. If you don't have that kind of relationship with your Creator today through Jesus Christ, what in the world are you waiting for? How in the world can you live? How can you navigate this world? How can you face that torrent that comes after you? How do you stare down the monster when you have no power in and of yourself to face those struggles and trials? God sent Jesus Christ to die for you, to intercede for you, for all of us. Come to Him, confess your faith, turn from the sin of this world that's done nothing but bring you pain, and turn to Jesus Christ. Die and rise with Him in baptism, washed by His blood, filled with the Spirit, to begin this life as a pilgrim who's on the journey, who's on the move, who's marching to that city. And may God bless all of us in our own lives and our own struggles today. If there is anyone in need of prayer, encouragement, or counsel, we want you to know that you're welcome to come. If the Lord had not been on our side, if the Lord had not been on our side, let the church say, if the Lord had not been on our side, they would have swallowed us alive. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord. Our help is in the name of Jehovah, the maker of heaven and earth. Stand as we sing.